The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as always on the show, we keep an eye out for the latest LGBT news and stories affecting the community around the world. And to tell us a bit more about the breaking stories, we have Tris Reid-Smith, editor of Gaystar News, on the phone from London. Tris, you're very welcome along.
Lovely to be back with you.
Let's start off with a promising story that's taking place in Chile at the moment.
Yes, the new president has just taken office again. She was president before. This time, she says that it's possible that same-sex marriage could be made to happen in Chile. It's already a reality in Argentina, Uruguay and Brazil. But Michelle Bachelet says that she was actually endorsing same-sex couples during her campaign. She also, actually, interestingly, is going a bit further than that. Transgender Chileans maybe will get some more rights. She supports the idea of them being able to legally change their name and their gender without surgery and without psychiatric and psychological evaluation. And she wants to strengthen hate crime and anti-discrimination laws. So, you know, marriage equality obviously has become seen as a gold standard, but there's much more to it. And we might be seeing some really exciting changes in Chile. It sort of reminds me of the time we had the new president in France and the changes which very rapidly happened, leading to, you know, the culmination of same-sex marriage equality there last year. So, you know, we'll see if Chile follows that pattern.
That's really, really fantastic news. But I guess it's interesting that you're making the comparison with France. Is this a case that Chileans feel, I guess, similar to the feeling that was in Britain and Ireland recently, that kind of it's about time that these rights have come in? Are Chileans going along that path, or is it more a case of this is something the president is using to push through and the people are kind of going, oh, hold on, what's going on here?
Well, I think that there'll be, you know, the president's been elected with a decent majority, I think 62%
okay.
of people voted for her. I think that there'll be, like, traditional Chileans, but there will also be a large number of people who will have seen what's happened elsewhere in South America and who will want a modern, forward-thinking country. So
excellent.
I'm sure that there will be debate, but I think that there's some promising signs.
Excellent. All right. Well, that sounds really, really promising. So let's keep an eye on that over the next while. Moving across the ocean over to Uganda. And obviously, everyone has been talking about the anti-homosexuality bill that was passed recently. But there's a bit of a development on the story.
Yes, the bill is now going to face scrutiny in the Constitutional Court. So there have been some petitioners who've come up against the anti-homosexuality bill. And they've started to push that towards the Constitutional Court, though the courts are yet to respond. But I say, you know, it's going to take a bit of time. It might be a long struggle. And it will certainly put additional pressure on actually many of the same brave LGBTI activists and their allies in Uganda who've already faced so much pressure, so much backlash over the last few weeks. And in the years leading up to the passing of the bill as well. But there's a possible glimmer of light. What I think people should be aware of, though, in addition, is that the President, Yoweri Museveni, who signed the bill, developed a reputation for interfering in the judicial process and even sort of kind of threatened judges in comments he's made before, told them to examine themselves, told them that, you know, if they cross him on various issues, he will have no problem making their lives a bit harder and challenging their role in the country. So, you know, there's a potential that it won't be a fair, you know, judicial process as we would see in a country like Ireland or in a country like Britain or
yeah.
elsewhere. But it shows that the fight back against the act is really happening in earnest. And I guess what we have to be doing outside of Uganda is making sure we're all following this closely and supporting the LGBTI Ugandans as much as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I completely agree with. Tris, you know, I guess it's kind of difficult to answer, but I'll throw it at you anyway. Do you think that this particular story is influenced much by the fact that so many, you know, countries have now started to either pull aid or have threatened to pull aid? Or is this slightly independent? Are they related, or is it just a coincidence?
Well, Uganda's going to face a wide variety of challenges to this, from civil society, from international pressure, through the courts, through demonstrations, through all sorts of different manners. There's no, as far as I can see, no direct relationship between the court process, which is happening, and the international aid, because the international aid is applied on the Ugandan government. But it's only what I think the international community would be better placed doing is supporting LGBTI activists as they engage on this kind of struggle,
because
the aid issue is a bit more complex than they think.
Yeah, I guess either way, it does show that there is a backlash to this and a reaction to this, both internally in Uganda and in the international community as well. So again, it's something we'll have to see what happens from here on out, because it's a horrific situation for them. Moving on to our third and final story of tonight's show, though, and this is to do with Tilda Swinton. She's been vocal on LGBT rights before, so this is an interesting one.
Yeah, really interesting. She's sort of advanced a theory in an interview in the Daily Beast, where she suggests that the transitions gay people have to go through in order to come out to be themselves, to face up to their family, but it actually maybe gives them a development opportunity, a chance to be stronger. And actually something that she feels, in a sense, heterosexual people miss out on. Heterosexual people, she says, never have to go through that self-examination and knowing themselves, and that sense of coming out, coming to your own defence and being your own best advocate. And that actually, while I think she understands that that's a difficult thing for LGBTI people to do, it's a wonderful transition potentially for many of us to go through. And it means that we consider our lives where it's possible, she argues, for a heterosexual person, a cisgender heterosexual person, to have a personality which is less thought through.
I guess, yeah, it is an interesting way that's, you know, a lot of people probably haven't thought about it before. You know, a lot of people, if they have to come out, you know, it's, you know, they're looking upon themselves and kind of realizing, okay, what exactly is going on with me and my life. But yeah, it's an interesting way of looking at it, and definitely a different perspective. So let us know what you think as well. And obviously, if you want to add to the conversation, you can pop onto the Gay Star News Facebook page and Twitter. In the meantime, Tris Reed Smith, editor of Gay Star News, thank you so much for coming onto the show tonight, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Lovely to speak to you. Thank you.
RTE Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Now, you've heard recently in the news and in print as well, the word homophobia has been thrown around a fair bit. But what does that necessarily mean, especially in a legal context? To explain to me a bit more, I have Nolene Blackwell, the director of FLAC, the Free Legal Advice Centre here in Dublin. Nolene, you're very welcome along.
Thank you, Scott.
So, Nolene, tell me about the word homophobia, because it's a word that a lot of people will be very familiar with, but maybe in terms of a legal aspect or a technical aspect, not many people might know exactly what it means. Can you explain a bit more for us?
Yeah, well, I suppose any of the phobias, so xenophobia, homophobia, any of these words that mean a hatred of somebody on the basis of some characteristic they have, has to be examined as to whether there's an exact legal meaning for it. And in truth, the law doesn't talk like that about discrimination against a group of people. And in the case of homophobia, you're talking about discrimination or hatred of people on the grounds of their sexual orientation. So homophobia as such isn't the word that the law uses. The law does not allow discrimination in the workplace on the grounds of sexual orientation. It doesn't allow most discrimination in an awful lot of services on the basis of sexual orientation. But really beyond that, discrimination is possible. So where a person can legitimately complain that they've been discriminated against at work or in the provision of goods or services on the basis of their sexual orientation, they'll have a case in law. Beyond that, there isn't much to protect them except an underused piece of legislation which prohibits the incitement of hatred, and it's called the prohibition the Prohibition of Incitement to Hatred Act, and it's there for a long time. It's there about 25 years or more at this stage, and it's a complex and an old-fashioned piece of legislation. It has been used on occasion, for instance, where travellers have brought claims that somebody incited hatred against them. On the same basis, somebody could say hatred was incited against them on the basis of their sexual orientation because they were gay, lesbian, whatever. But it's a tough piece of legislation to use, and it hasn't been used that much. It is a crime, however, to incite hatred against somebody on the basis, on any basis.
And does it surprise you in that case that, considering such a law is there, that it is so underused?
It is. I think it's a complex piece of legislation that needs updating anyway, so it's a tricky piece of legislation to use. But in Ireland, as in any democratic state, the other balance is the balance between the right of people to freely express a conscientiously held view and the need not to incite hatred. And this, I think, is often where nobody quite knows what the answer is. So it's very hard to a lawyer for a lawyer to say, if you give this opinion, you are within the law, but if you give a slightly different opinion, it is incitement to hatred and therefore criminal behaviour. Our constitution, our laws, fundamental human rights protect the right of people to free speech, to free opinions, to freedom of conscience. But in all of these rights, that prohibition has to be balanced off in law against the public good. So in each particular case, and as society develops as well, there is always a tension between the right of people to hold opinions and to express them freely on the one hand, and then to recognise that it is in the public interest and in the public good that people not be vilified. So that is also forbidden by our law. But it's not a black and white situation. No wonder people often think the law is foolish or an ass or whatever they call it, because it is so hard to explain clearly what that balance is. But I think what most people are trying to achieve and where we should all be aiming for is that you respect the right of somebody else to freely express their opinion, but that person is also required and has the responsibility to respect people's other human rights. So there is a fundamental human right to have your sexual orientation recognised. That must be recognised. And a failure to recognise that is a failure to respect fundamental human rights. Similarly, a failure to allow freedom of speech is freedom of speech, which is within the bounds of normal free speech and is not hate speech. That too is a breach of fundamental human rights. So it's a balance.
Right, okay. Well, as you hinted at yourself, the law is never a simple thing. But indeed, with any luck, hopefully that may have cleared a few things up a bit. But in the meantime, Nolene Blackwell, Director of FLAC, the Free Legal Advice Centre, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Scott.
The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.